JFM 95.4.
Dynamically shaping the future.
Second hour of our show and getting us to exactly 16 minutes past the hour of 10 is, of course, Kiddo CSA coming through with Espalaza. It's UJFM Brunch with myself, Bitoko.
As well as Gwanda.
As well as Lisa taking us through the world of news. Now, today, we have the privilege of interviewing Dr. Nonkululeko Gobodo, a visionary leader who has made a significant contribution to the fields of finance, education, and personal development. Now, Dr. Gobodo holds the amazing title of being the first female chartered accountant in South Africa, an honorary doctorate in philosophy at the University of Johannesburg, the author of the inspiring book, Awakened to My True Self, a prominent figure in the Forbes 50 after 50, under 50 rather, list, the host of the insightful podcast Unconditioned Mind, the CEO of Awakened Global, and the esteemed Chancellor of the Walter Sisulu University. Now, please do join us as we delve into Dr. Gobodo's diverse experiences and glean wisdom from her extraordinary journey.
Thank you so much for joining us, Doctor, this morning. I have to say, you have such an incredible resume. And it was so difficult for us this morning to decide what to put in and what to leave out. But I think more than anything, I want to take it back to your very humble beginnings, Mthatha in the Eastern Cape. And this is where you were first bitten by the accounting bug, working in your father's panel beating shop. Take us through this experience. What are the decisions that led up to you deciding to take up a career in accounting?
Thank you so much for having me. I was a young person like everyone else who didn't know what she wanted to do, just confused. And the main reason for that confusion was because I had grown up a quiet child, shy. And my mother was so worried about this child, thinking that, yo, I'm not going to make it in life. And started verbalizing these things. So I just grew up with a low self-esteem. And life is actually good in the sense that you will get an opportunity to find clarity, you know, which is what happened. So when I was confused, not knowing what I wanted to do, my father saying I should be a doctor and thinking, I don't actually feel that I'm a doctor. Yes. And then he then said, just go and while they're figuring it out, and go to and work in my panel beating shop. That's where I got exposed to accounting because I was working there as a bookkeeper. And out of that, I found myself, you know. I realized that, okay, I may be quiet, but I'm actually smart. I'm actually strong because I was able to stand up to the white managers there who were real bullies, you can imagine, back in apartheid South Africa. And I was like, oh, I'm standing up to this at 19 years old. Then I'm strong, you know. And then I was so enjoying this bookkeeping thing, exposed to accountancy, exposed to auditing, seeing auditors coming to audit. And I was like, oh, okay, now I know what I want to do. I was able to go back to my father and say, I know what I want to do. And that's when then I decided to go back to school, do a BCom and become a chartered accountant. So it was actually, you know, you must never look at challenges and think that they define who you are.
Of course.
So, and you'll always get an opportunity to find who you are if you actually don't waste those challenges.
Yes, definitely. Now, you've just mentioned these experiences, actually, and they really helped you to stand up for what you believe in. I think what I'd like to know is, how has your personal journey really influenced your perspective on leadership as well as empowerment, especially for women in a male-dominated industry?
And in fact, that experience that I was telling you about, of the bullying, it was because I was a young black woman.
Yes.
And I think that was the first time to actually face sexism and racism when I started to work. Because I grew up in a community, you know, where I went to black schools. I lived, fortunately for us, in the Eastern Cape, former Transkei. were sort of independent. So things were not as worse as the rest of South Africa. So you were sort of cushioned. Mm. It was the first time to experience that, oh, I'm considered different because I'm a black woman.
Mm.
And actually, when I reflect back, actually, I just realized how my first response was to refuse to be defined by others who I am. And I suppose because I had allowed my mother and those who were worried about me to define who I am, and when I adopted their description and definition, I became that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was now very mindful, even unconsciously, because I don't think I actually made these decisions consciously, that I will not allow others to define who I am.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that's how I survived this industry. So wherever I faced, you can imagine back then, you, most of the time, are the only woman.
Yeah.
You know, and so you were always confronted by this male-dominated environment that sort of said you have to fit into a stereotype of who you are. And each time I refused, which is why I'm so passionate about transformation. I'm so passionate about empowerment, because you can imagine when we started to be chartered accountants, we succeeded, we passed the board exam, and then we were confronted with a corporate environment, a society that said we still don't belong. And as black accountants, we were very conscious of the fact that we will not allow a system to define who we are, how mm-hmm. far we can go, which is why we were breaking barriers as those first pioneers of black accountants going into practice when everybody was saying we cannot go into practice.
Mm.
And growing those practices, you know, into medium-sized businesses, large businesses, because we just refused to allow a system to define us.
Mm-hmm. Super inspiring indeed. It's 081-725-5228. Alternatively, to reach us out on our social media platforms at UJFM using the hashtag UJFMBrunch. Do you have any thought-provoking questions for Dr. Gobodo? 24 minutes past 10, you're still tuned into the UJFM Brunch with myself, Bitoko.
And Gwanda.
As well as Lisa taking us through the world of news. It's Dr. Nonkululeko Gobodo in studio with us today. The first black female to ever become a chartered accountant in South Africa.
Now, Doctor, let's fast forward to the year 1987. You become the first black female chartered accountant in South Africa. Take us through this experience from waking up, from receiving your qualification and waking up as the first black female chartered accountant to landing your first job at, or not your first job rather, but to landing a position at one of the biggest auditing firms in the country.
Wow. I'm always amazed that after 37 years, yes, I still have to tell the story. But I mean, as they always say, that there are younger people who may not have heard the story, and there'll always be aspects of it that you bring out that you didn't bring out before. So, I mean, you can imagine I have this vision of becoming a chartered accountant, and I'm doing, you know, what I need to do, studying, working hard, and all of that. And you're always told that this is difficult. In fact, black people don't pass it.
Mm.
In fact, you know, all of these things. And I just tried to shut out that noise because I have this goal and I intend to achieve it. And I was married with children at that time. So it had been hard studying under those conditions. So it was very important for me to just pass the first time. And they kept saying, no, there are many opportunities. You know, five times. I was like, no, I'm not doing it five times. And then that day came. Everyone who's a chartered accountant knows.
Mm.
They will tell you exactly what happened that day when the results came. And they punish you. And they announced the results at 4. So the whole day,
can't
concentrate.
Mm.
You are looking at the clock. It's like crawling. And finally, 4 o'clock comes. And I get the great news that I've actually passed. I think the first response was relief.
Mm.
That, oh, I made it. You know, I don't have to go through the suffering again. And then it only turned out the following day that I was the first. So I enjoyed my glory for just one day of just, you know, this personal achievement for myself. Then it turned out I'm the first. At first, that didn't mean much.
Yeah.
First of all, I didn't know I'd be the first because there were others who had returned before me. So I didn't actually know that I would be the first. And then all hell broke loose when the media descended onto my hometown. And again, I mean, that shy kid, I was like, no, I don't need all this attention. Please, I did this for me. And I was really sobered up at that time when the reporters, especially this one from the SABC that I'll never forget, said, but this is not about you.
Mm-hmm.
You are now a role model for young people, for women. And I said, oh, yo, that means then that I have to succeed not just for myself, but for others.
Mm-hmm.
And that really sobers you up. That there's a responsibility in being the first. You know, people are always like saying, why are we still talking about firsts after so many years and so on? And I always say to them that there's such a responsibility for being the first because you are a groundbreaker.
Mm.
You are setting the scene for everybody else. Everybody is looking up to you. And indeed, that reporter was right because this achievement is still inspiring young people today.
Of course.
Which is really just amazing because how can you aspire for something you don't know?
Mm-hmm.
And how can you aspire for something that people have not done? Because you have to see someone doing it for you to believe. And then we're those pioneers who, unfortunately, you know, had no role models.
Mm.
We had to carve the path for others. And for me, it's still humbling how the story is still so inspirational.
Absolutely incredible.
More with Dr. Nonkululeko Okomodo in just a few minutes. As for now, let's take you into news headlines with Lisa. Stick around. Exactly 32 minutes past the hour of 10. The Accounting Essay Organization referred to her as an advocate for racial inclusion as well as gender equality. It's Dr. Nonkululeko Okobodo in studio with us today, an honorary doctorate in philosophy at the University of Johannesburg, the author of the inspiring book Awaken to My True Self, a prominent figure in the Forbes 50 After 50 list, the host of the insightful podcast Unconditioned Mind, the CEO of Awakened Global, and the esteemed Chancellor of the Walter Sisulu University. And I think it's also quite important that we point out that she is the first Black female to ever be a chartered accountant in South Africa. Gwanda?
I think it's absolutely incredible, Doctor, the story that you just narrated to us. And you said you've been telling the story for so many years. But I think what I want to find out more than anything is your time spent at KPMG. You, in the very short time that you spent there, you were offered a position as a partner, as the first Black partner and as the first female partner. But you opted to walk away from this big and lucrative position. What was the motivation behind that? And can we get into that just a little bit?
Yes. I mean, again, you can imagine we're doing articles in apartheid South Africa.
Mm.
And it was an environment where you really had to challenge yourself for you to succeed. And again, I was very mindful of, you know, using this opportunity for me also to get the best training for myself, which is where I really just identify opportunities for myself, and the partners would wake up and I would be having this portfolio of clients that they don't even know how I got it. So I had sort of proven myself, right? That you always start from this position of being considered not capable as a Black woman. So it was the same there. But then when you break through and dispel the stereotype, then people have to recognize that you are smart, you are talented. And that's when opportunities like this would come, which was rare those days for you just after articles to be offered that position. And I did toy with it for a while to say, I mean, it's a great opportunity. But after just reflecting and thinking about it, I thought, as a black woman, I would never know if I could do this myself. Remember, I was, you know, living in Amtata, an inspiring environment. There was a university there. There was the first firm, black firm of chartered accountants was established in my hometown by Professor Wiseman Goodlu. So there was a lot of inspiration around this. So I then realized that this would be taking an easy way out, because I always had this burning desire to prove to myself and others that there was nothing I couldn't do. And if I take this shortcut, then I'd never get that opportunity. So that's when I turned that opportunity down. And I'm so glad I did, because I did prove to myself and others that there was nothing I couldn't do as a black woman. And being a role model for others, you know, was more fulfilling anyway.
Yes, definitely. Now, Dr. Gobodo, not only are you actually a trailblazing in the corporate and accounting world, you are also a distinguished scholar. You hold an honorary doctorate in philosophy from the University of Johannesburg. Not only that, you are actually also the chancellor of the Walter Sisulu University. So I think I kind of want to know, how do you balance your academic responsibilities with the leadership roles in the corporate world?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I mean, I really just want to thank you, Jay, again for this honorary doctorate. You know, when you focus on your craft, you don't expect to be recognized like that. So, it's actually quite exciting that, you know, people recognize that you've achieved all of these things, and I'm really honored by the doctorate. But you've got to understand also that you start somewhere in life. Mm-hmm. And this is what I always say to young people, that they look at us where we are and they feel so pressurized that they have to be these things. But what they miss is that life is a journey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It starts somewhere. You know, you should not waste any opportunity that comes your way. Because even if you are young, I mean, I hear young people say, I'm still young, you know, I still have time. No, you don't have time. Because every phase of your life prepares you for the next. Mm-hmm. So if you waste that phase, you get to your next, you're not prepared. In fact, you're going to miss your next. So I was always very mindful to give all of myself to every phase of my life, which is why then when the next phase comes, you are ready for it. For the next phase come, you are ready for it. And you can imagine you were building a career. I was a single mother at some point, having to balance all of these things. So you sort of get trained into balancing your life as you grow in life, and more challenging, you know, roles come your way. And of course, I mean, when you get a new challenging role, you will be challenged. You will doubt yourself, you know. It's normal to doubt ourselves. But as you do this, again, you realize that, oh, I can actually do this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you get more and more prepared, right? So you learn sort of how to balance your responsibilities. And it's actually very important not to overstretch yourself.
Yes.
Because you're not going to achieve what you need to achieve, and you're not going to, you sort of stumble. Mm-hmm. So I always make sure that I have, you know, a portfolio that I can manage. You get a lot of opportunities. I mean, you get requests all the time to sit on boards, but I made a decision that I want to sit on 3 boards, because that's what I can manage. If I overstretch myself, I'm not going to perform. And then again, this reputation that you built over a long time, it takes a day for it to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always mindful to manage my portfolio at any stage in my life.
No, that's definitely inspiring indeed. I think it's quite important to also note that, you know, we as young people, especially myself, tend to just be in this very relaxed state where we think our 20s are just all about having fun. But I think what I liked about what you pointed out there, Dr. Gobodo, is the fact that each each age that you actually grow into, each facet that you grow into life means that you are building a block for yourself. Now, I believe, Lisa, that you actually do have a question over there.
Yes, I do. Now, during your time at the TDC, you did some restructuring and spent a lot of time and energy empowering managers, developing and growing future leaders. I wanted to ask, how have your academic pursuits and professional achievements shaped your approach to mentorship and fostering talent in both academia and business?
Yes. I mean, I always say that we go to school, we get an education because we want to pursue a certain career.
Mm-hmm.
But the education, the experience is just one of those tools that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But in any organization, in any situation, you bring the whole person.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole person is not just the chartered accountant, it's not just the former audit manager or all of those experiences that you bring to the to the table. And those experiences are important, right? Mm. But you also bring your natural gifts, your natural talents. And if you don't know what those are, you can utilize them, right? And that's why, you know, you find that other people are succeeding better than others. It's because they realize that they're bringing the whole person. And how you impact the organization is through your other talents. So I realized very early where my strengths are.
Mm.
And leadership is one of those strengths that I identified, and that I'm actually very good at strategy. I may not be good, you know, technically, and that's also fine. So that's why I could do those things of restructuring, because I used my natural gift of strategy to do those things. Leadership. I love developing leaders. Mm. I mean, in any role that I play, if that aspect of developing leaders is not part of it, I just don't find fulfillment. So I always look for opportunities to develop leaders. And what I found in developing leaders is that, remember, we don't see ourselves, but others can see us.
Mm.
You know, so that's why we always look down upon ourselves. That's why we always compare ourselves to others. Because when you compare yourself to someone else, they will always look like they're better than you. Right? Because you are not focusing on your own strengths and your own talents. And this is where we always feel like I'm failing, you know, I'm failing, I'm not there. So as a leader, because you can see the talents in others, even if they don't recognize themselves, those talents, you are able to bring them out, right? And how I used to do that was to challenge people, you know, because it's only when we are challenged that we can dig deep within ourselves and perform, you know, in a way that surprises us and surprises everybody else as well, because you'll always exceed your own expectations. So mentorship, we can never get to the next level without mentorship, without sponsorship. So identifying that talent, and I know that I made mistakes in that regard as well, because sometimes you push people too hard and you learn, you know, over time that people are different and you can't use the same strategy for everybody, right? There are those who are self-motivated and can be pushed hard, and are those that you have to slow down and allow them to, you know, move according to their pace. These are the things that you learn from experience, I suppose. But I must say that it is very important for us to mentor others. It is very important for us to coach others. And it is important for those who are being mentored and coached to understand that they need this thing. And they have to also take responsibility in the process. Because I always say that, I mean, if I'm going to invest my time in your life and you are not serious, why should I invest that time?
Mm-hmm.
It's Dr. Nonkululeko Gobodo in studio with us today. And if you do have any remarks or thought-provoking questions that you'd like to send through, it's 081-725-5228. That's our WhatsApp line. Alternatively, to reach us out on our social media platforms at UJFM using the hashtag UJFMBrunch. And that right there was our very own Vice Chancellor, Professor Leclerc Mbedi, getting us to exactly 47 minutes past the hour of 10. An honorary doctorate in the philosophy at the University of Johannesburg, as well as the first black female who was actually became the chartered accountant in South Africa. It's Dr. Nonkululeko Gobodo in studio with us today. Lisa?
Right, so apart from being recently conferred with an honorary doctorate in philosophy from the University of Johannesburg, you also had the incredible opportunity of being a part of 2023's Forbes Africa's 50 over 50 list that celebrates women in the African continent that are soaring to great heights and being a beacon of hope for women across the continent. Now, Dr. Gobodo, for someone who has worked so tirelessly to achieve such great things, what do these accomplishments mean to you and what significance do they carry?
Well, again, you know, always such an honor to be recognized like that. I mean, I suppose, first of all, you don't pursue your craft for these awards and all of these things. They come to you because you worked hard, because you were focused on shaping your profile, shaping your outlook in life, right? So you're always honored, but you can't allow those things to, you know, wear them on your sleeve, and now suddenly you are big and so important and all of that. So, what I can say to that is that you receive this, you know, with honor, with the honor that they deserve, but you just continue doing your thing, you know, because again, as I say, failure comes upon you like that. If you are not focused on what you're doing it excellently and working hard, you know, people forget. They forget you just like that.
Definitely. Now, Doctor, you are the CEO of Awakened Global, and according to the website, this is a movement that actually seeks to see true liberation against racism and prejudice for the disadvantaged, particularly women and black people. So I want to know what actually inspired you to establish Awakened Global, and how does the company actually embody your vision for transformative leadership as well as conscious business practices?
I suppose, I mean, growing up in South Africa and personally experiencing sexism in the workplace and in society generally, and experiencing racism in the workplace and in society, I've always just had this burden about these disadvantages that people have to face in life. And I suppose for some time, it was like, okay, I found my own way of surviving. I found my own way of navigating the spaces. But you come to a place of saying, but this cannot be allowed to go on.
Yes.
How can I contribute to moving this forward? Understanding that, yes, it's a big problem, and maybe we will not overcome it overnight. And also understanding how, when society defines who you are, how that sort of shapes who you believe you also are. I mean, when you grow up in a society that says you are inferior because you're a woman, or you're inferior because you're a black person, at some point you internalize that also, and it shapes who you are. And I just thought that black people and women also deserve to achieve whatever they want to achieve.
Yes.
They also deserve to reach their full potential in life. And we've always approached these topics around, all we have is protest. You know, protest action. And yeah, protest action has helped us move forward a bit. But there's always this barrier that we can't overcome.
Yes.
Right? And I then thought that, how do we focus on ourselves as these two disadvantaged groups? Because we're not helpless in this situation. And there's definitely something that we can do. And so I really just want to dedicate the rest of my life now to this cause, to make a contribution, because I really believe that younger people can take whatever, you know, we have achieved as this generation to the next level.
Yes.
So that my grandchildren at least, you know, arrive at a different world where they are not defined by the color of their skin or their sex, that people will recognize the potential in them, because that potential is there for everybody,
yes.
Right? And through my podcast, I try to get the word out there that there is something we can do. We don't have to believe what they say about us, because we are not that.
Yes, definitely. Now, Doctor, you just touched on just society and how it tends to have a negative connotation towards just women as well as black people. I guess what I want to know is, how do you try to cultivate a culture of innovation as well as some mindfulness within the organization to drive sustainable growth and put some social impact?
Yes. I mean, it all starts with the mind, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, because these societal norms focused on the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when you, you know, constantly say people are inferior, when you treat them like they are inferior, unfortunately, this is reinforced. So the only way that I think we can change this, the society, and bring in new innovations is to also, as those disadvantaged group, to focus on our minds, which is why I'm saying we have to uncondition our minds to whatever we have been told that we are. And it's just amazing how when you begin to shift your thinking about yourself, the wonderful things that you do, your creative abilities come out. You come out with things that we never thought of, which is why as black accountants, we achieve things that people never thought we could achieve, because we constantly were conscious of shifting our minds towards what is true and what we, not what we're told that we are.
Oh, definitely. Our WhatsApp line is still open. It's 081-725-5228. Or alternatively, you can reach us out on our social media platforms at UJFM using the hashtag UJFMBrunch. It's Dr. Nonkululeko Okobodo in studio with us today, celebrating the legend that she is. So we're about to wrap up the interview in just a few minutes. But just before we do, let's get into some more questions. Gwenda?
So, as a Gen Z and as a 2000, I think I came across the name Umam Nonkululeko in a book that my mom purchased, Awakened to My True Self. Right. And now, Doctor, you are quite the creative yourself. You speak of a podcast, Unchained Mind, as well as your memoir. And so I haven't gotten the chance to read the book myself. But to my understanding, your memoir tackles themes like authenticity as well as self-discovery in your journey. How has this journey of personal growth influenced your leadership style and your decision-making skills in the business world?
You talk about authenticity. Again, you know, We live in a society where we're not allowed to be our authentic self. You walk into a corporate world that has a certain culture, and you have to fit into that culture. And on all the other aspects that we spoke about around sexism and racism and all of that. And so trying to find your authentic self and the authentic leader in those environments is actually very difficult, because you soon realize that if you don't fit into the culture or you don't fit into the stereotype, you're not accepted. And which is actually very sad, because we lose the opportunity of getting the best creativity out of people when you don't allow them to be their authentic self. You can imagine, if you are trying to be someone you are not, how can you be your best? You cannot be your best. So I really just want to say, as we focus on our own personal development, we have to be mindful of how do I navigate these environments and still find my authentic self?
Mm-hmm.
And as leaders also, we need to appreciate the fact that we always lead from our own lens, right? And when we impose all of these things upon those whom we are leading, it's because we are always...
Yes, I just wanted to say that I think we're all very much inspired by you, not only as the first Black female chartered accountant in South Africa, but all of your accolades and all of the wisdom that you kind of come with and that you've offered us in this interview today. But Doctor, just to wrap things up, you are a trailblazer for women in finance and leadership. What legacy do you hope to leave for future generations and particularly for women aspiring?
I mean, I suppose when we were pursuing, you know, establishing a big Black accounting firm and things like that, I just wanted to leave the kind of legacy that will say to a Black child that I can also do it.
Mm.
Which is why we never backed down. Mm. You know, we kept growing and expanding and expanding so that a Black child will also know that I can do it.
Mm.
Yes, not that there was no fear, but you don't allow fear to stop you. Not that there were no challenges, but you don't allow challenges to stop you, mm-hmm. because challenges can be overcome. Thank you.
Yes, definitely. It has been nothing but a pleasure and an honor to be in studio with you, Dr. Nonkululeko Gobodo. Thank you for being an advocate for racial inclusion and gender equality, as well as an inspiration to so many women out there and students who are looking into pursuing a career in accounting. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
And that's how we wrap up the interview. In a few minutes, Lisa will be coming up with your news updates as well as some traffic by Gwanda. Stick around.
UJFM 95.4.
Dynamically shaping the future.